gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ for tomorrow.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Grant that all who are baptized into his name may keep the covenant they have made and boldly confess him as Lord and Savior. Grant that all who are baptized may keep the covenant they have made. It's an honor to be here as your Bishop Diocesan. This is my first visit as Bishop Diocesan. It's a lot the same as being Bishop Suffragan, except that the training wheels are off now. And I'll be wobbly until I get into the cycling of things. I have been ordained for over 30 years. I've been a bishop for more than almost four. And I've been a diocesan bishop for less than 24 hours. Somewhere in all of that, it occurred to me that I will never be in another process. I'll never get a letter from a parish that says, "Would you like to come and be our rector?" I'll never get a letter from another diocese that says, "We're looking for a bishop." For better and for worse, I am where I'm going to be until I go away, until I stop. And the great liberty of that for me is that I can say whatever I want to. What are you going to do? Tell the bishop? Now imagine that. Y'all have heard a few sermons before. Some of them I bet you have been really good. Some of them I bet you Lee would have changed something or another in the middle. She says yes. We've all heard sermons that just sort of go on and on and on. We've all been frustrated to not really understand what that person was trying to say. If you've ever stood in a spot like this, you have at least once been frustrated that you're not really quite saying what you had in mind. But if you could stand in the pulpit of Grace Episcopal Church in Anniston, Alabama, and say whatever you wanted to, in such a way that nobody's going to get upset, or at least if they get upset, they couldn't do anything about it, what would you say? What would you say? If you could tell your church family what you've always wanted to tell them and get away with it, what would you say? I grew up in Holy Trinity Episcopal Church in Vicksburg, Mississippi. And the nave part is probably a little more than twice as big as this. Beautiful stained glass window, gorgeous organ, and the fullest I ever saw it was on Christmas Eve. But the rest of the time it was not so full. We prayed quietly, sang quietly. The whole theme of the place was don't disturb anybody. And I grew up thinking, if I ever get to stand in that pulpit, boy, I'm going to say, wake up. Wake up. Come, Holy Spirit, stir up in your people. When I was 13 years old, we got a new priest. The old priest had been not acceptable. I'm not sure why I was 13 years old and I didn't really care. But he went back to New Orleans where he belonged. And our new priest had 5 children, the oldest of which was my age. He was a goob. He came to school and everybody knew that he was a goob, and worse than that, he was a preacher kid goob. But he was my preacher's kid. And so I tried to help him out a little bit, and we became good friends and are still good friends today. His father is a kind and gentle and patient man. When I was 13 years old, I was at the church for some sort of acolyte training, and it was raining outside. The acolyte training apparently ended before my parents thought it would, and there was nobody there to pick me up. And all the other acolytes, all boys back then, all the other boys left. And Father McGinnis called my mom and dad, and they said, well, we'll get there, but we can't come right now. And so I was faced with the necessity of having to talk to this priest for like a half an hour. That's a long time when you're 13 years old. Can you imagine having to talk to a priest for like a half an hour and there's no escape? You can't go stand outside because it's raining. And he talked to me like I was a person and listened to what I had to say and didn't treat me like I was a goofball, even though I was. And I came home and told my mom that I wanted to be a priest. Mostly I wanted to be like Father McGinnis. And I prayed, Lord, if you want me to be a priest, let me know. Do something. I'm not looking for burning bushes, but just a something, just a glimpse, just a something you can hang on to. I was part of the EYC. The EYC and the Roman Catholic youth group got together and we went to a charismatic day of renewal. And there were people speaking in tongues. And I said, this could be the sign. Lord, hit me with it. Here I am. And God did not do that. And I went all the way through high school and all the way through college thinking that this is something that I would like to do. But gosh, it'd be so nice to have something tangible, some moment, some little zap. You know, God, just show me something, just a little zap. Just poke me. And God did not choose to do that. So I went to college and thought that I would major in marine biology. until I made a D in biology and a C in chemistry. Is that a poke? Is that a zap? It's kind of an unzap, really. I changed my major to psychology and then to sociology. I went to seminary just to see. I kept waiting for something definitive, something that was just mine. Lord, here I am. If you want me, take me. But let me know, because I don't want to make a fool of myself. I was ordained a deacon in 1981. I was ordained a priest in 1982. I served four parishes in Mississippi and one in Alabama. And then one day when I was minding my own business, somebody asked me if I would run for bishop suffragan. And I assumed that the church had better sense than to elect me bishop. And you did anyway. And I was sort of minding my own business, enjoying being a bishop suffragan for a few years. And Bishop Parsley announced that he would retire, and people began to ask me if I would be the diocesan bishop, if I would run. I never thought that I would be a bishop. I never got sort of a zap in that direction either. But again, I offered myself and shielded myself from what seemed probable to me, that y'all would elect somebody who was worthwhile. And was again surprised and humbled and flattered to be elected bishop. Paul went to Ephesus and met some disciples. He said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit? Were you zapped? Were you poked? Do you have that sort of road to Damascus experience?" They said, "No, we didn't even know that there was a Holy Spirit." He baptized them and they received the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues and prophesied. Don't you wish? Don't you wonder? A couple of years ago, I was in a meeting of the House of Bishops, somewhere I thought I would never be. And we have worship services, and different bishops get to preach, and happily I've never been asked to preach because it's got to be a tough crowd. And this one bishop went on and on about God working in unmistakable ways. And he told some of the great stories of the Bible, the burning bush and the road to Damascus, and God calling Isaiah and God calling Jeremiah, and on, God working in unmistakable ways. And I thought, that's not my life. That's not how my life has been. God has worked in my life from my first day to this in ways that are mistakable. I'm called to this ministry in voices that can be misunderstood or just ignored. And you are called to your ministry by voices that can be misunderstood or ignored, God working in mistakable ways. Because always it comes down to our choice. We choose to love God. We choose to follow Jesus. Or we choose to serve ourselves. Or we choose to wander off into the darkness alone. we pray for the grace that we who have been baptized into the name of Jesus Christ may keep the covenant we have made. You know, one of the great things about being Episcopalians is we have this wonderful Book of Common Prayer. A lot of us have a lot of it memorized. You can kind of go through the whole service without even really thinking about what you're doing. You know, the terrible thing about being Episcopalians is that we have this Book of Common Prayer. And if we choose to, we can go through the whole service without even paying attention to what we're saying. Here in a little bit, I will stop preaching, I promise. And we'll move into baptisms and move into confirmations and a reception. And the idea of this is that we as a community welcome these people more fully, more wholly, more completely into this part of God's church. And the way we do that is to say, here's what we believe. I believe in God, the Father. And here's what we're going to do about it. Here is the covenant we make with God. If I could say anything to the church and get away with it, it will be this. Let's pay attention to what we say. Let's pay attention to the promises we make. And if you don't really intend to do the things that the book says we're going to do, don't say it. You are making vows before God. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers? Will you continue? Well, what if one of those bishops somewhere far away does or says something stupid? What if the General Convention comes and gets everybody all riled up? What if it's too hot in there? What if the football game's coming on at noon? What if the organist plays too slow? What if it's too cold in there? What if the new bishop we've elected turns out to be a jerk? What if the organist plays too fast? Will you continue? This is your church. Will you continue? The answer will be in front of you. I will, with God's help. The great news, the challenging news, is that you have God's help. It's not like we're waiting for God to show up. Will you continue? Will you repent whenever you sin? Not just in case you sin, but every time you sin. Will you turn away from that and turn to God? Will you proclaim the good news of the love of God in what you do and in what you say? And in what you don't do and what you don't say. Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself, and knowing full well that you don't get to choose who your neighbor is? Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons? That's a lot of persons. I haven't asked a lawyer to look at it, but I bet some have. There are no loopholes there. All persons. Will you respect the dignity of every human being? Not because they deserve dignity, but because they are children of God just like we are. Will you respect the dignity of every human being? Seek and serve Christ in all persons. Even if they pull for the wrong football team, even if they vote for the wrong guy, even if they don't speak our language, even if they do things that we think are not right. I will with God's help. I will not without God's help. But we have God's help. And this is the covenant we make. This is the covenant we invite people to come and join us in. So now I am a diocesan bishop, and I can say whatever I want to. What a scary idea. Grant that all who are baptized into the name of Jesus Christ may keep the covenant we make. Thanks be to God. Amen.